This podcast is sponsored by Dent Magic, your Bristol-based car body repair company. Visit us at Cribbs Causeway or Central Bristol, or we can even come to you with our mobile service at your home or workplace. Have you got a scuff, scratch or dent on your vehicle? Dent Magic can fix them all. If you need the magic touch for your vehicle, visit www.dentmagic.net to get your quick quote online today.
Welcome to Three Peaks in a Podcast. My name is Patch, and this is the regular show, episode 205 of the podcast. And Rich is with me. Rich, you look like you've been out golfing this morning.
Yeah, taking advantage of the bright sunshine and the basking weather we're getting this summer. So, yeah, no, rained again. So, yeah, just nice to get out, nice to get a bit of fresh air in your lungs. But, yeah, played all right.
Yeah, this April has been April showers, to say the least, and the wind has played havoc. It's not been what we've been used to in the past.
Mate, it's been March showers, February showers, January showers. I reckon about 18 months. Well, I can't remember the last day it didn't actually not rain for at least like a minute. You know what I mean? There hasn't been one day, 24 hours of non-rain.
But what a very British podcast to start talking about the weather.
But it's perfect.
I think at least we're not at any risk of a hosepipe ban this summer, should we say?
They'll bring it in. They're fine too.
Brilliant. Oh, good stuff. Okay, well, so today's episode, we're going to get a bit of an update on the YTL Arena. Rich and I, you went there back in August 2021 for a look yep. around the hangars. And as we said on the podcast back in February 2022, when we had Andrew Billingham on first, it was eye-opening, wasn't it? You've seen it from the outside numerous times, but to actually go into that hangar and see the sheer size of it and what it can become, it was something that we want to get involved in.
Well, that's the thing. You drive past it from a distance. You can't really drive along the side of it. And it looks like a warehouse, basically. But when you get there, the vast size of it, you're lost, aren't you? Echo, you know what I mean? It's massive, isn't it? And what it could become and hopefully will become.
Yeah.
We can't wait to find out.
Absolutely. So as I said, we have got a guest with us. It's the CEO of the YTL Arena. And Andrew, we spoke 21st of February, 2022. I cannot believe it's over 2 years since we spoke last. But how are you, sir?
I'm really good, thank you. And thank you for inviting me back. But how time flies.
I know.
I'm not so sure I can get golf inside the to get you out of the rain.
Well, to be fair, with my shots, my distance, you can get plenty of golf in there.
Well, listen, we can definitely put concerts and indoor sport under the roof. So hopefully get away from this atrocious weather we're getting at the moment. But yeah, good to see you both.
Yeah, and we always start our podcasts, Andrew, with a bit of a mental health talk club check-in. How are you out of 10? So obviously it's Monday afternoon now. I know you're into your sport and we've had a great weekend of FA Cup football. But how are you out of 10 this afternoon?
I'd say I'm a good solid 9.
Okay.
I think things are good. Yeah, you mentioned sport. You know, it was a great weekend of sport. We had a bit of sunshine, which was even better. And you know, we're moving forward with the arena. So I'd say I'm a good solid 9. Looking very much forward to some exciting stuff around the corner.
Am I right in saying you're an Aston Villa fan?
I am. Yes. And. I was fortunate to be at the game last Sunday when we beat Arsenal 2-0 away, which is fantastic. Then we won in the week in the cup. I think we're the only English team now left in Europe, which is fantastic. And then won again at the weekend to maintain our place in Champions League. So yeah, it's a great season to be a Villa fan at the moment.
Well, Aston Villa, you know, in particular this season, still in Europe, doing very well in the league, and it's times like that when you see Aston Villa doing so well that it's only a couple of years back when Bristol City were on parity and competing with Aston Villa. Yeah. So I know the history of the club and you've been involved in Europe in the past, but it certainly gives us some hope that there is a future that we can progress and start fighting at the right end of the Premier League.
Yeah, they always say that Bristol is missing two things. One is a Premier League football team, and the other is an indoor music arena. And you know, we're definitely bringing one forward. And you know, I hope that Bristol City can find some form, probably going to next season, and can definitely start to challenge to get into the top league, because the club is set up for that, absolutely. And you know, what it would bring to us as a city is unmeasurable. Having worked in the Premier League for many years myself with a couple of other different clubs, so yeah, I keep looking for the results, and fingers crossed. Hopefully one day we can get the mighty city into the Premier League.
Brilliant. Yeah, Rich, how are you out of 10 this morning?
Well, after playing golf, I'm a good 8. Obviously, I didn't work Monday, so Monday's always a good day for me. But yeah, a bit of golf, got up nice and early. You feel like you've done something when you've gone out early and done something. So I'm a steady 8.
Yeah, okay. I've just had my lunch, so my belly is full, so that's impacting my mental health. I'm probably a 9 today. I think it's going to be a good week this week, plenty going on, and yeah, had a really good weekend, so I'm happy to report I'm a 9 out of 10. But as I said, Andrew, we had you back on the 21st of February 2022, and yeah, at that point we were talking about autumn 2022, when enabling works may begin and start to develop the infrastructure. Obviously we're a couple of years on, and I saw an article about a month ago that things are starting to move. So just explain briefly what's happened in those last 2 years and what's caused that sort of delay.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is not a small project. And I think if you sort of step away from it just being the arena, we have a 350-acre site with a huge runway in between the existing road and infrastructure network until you can get to the hangars. So, you know, we've been busy, certainly since 2020 when we got planning, it started to put that infrastructure in. You know, if you drive down the A38 now, and you sort of either look left or right, whichever way you're sort of coming, you now can see the runway is sort of starting to disappear, and there's a main trunk road starting to go through, which will be aptly named Runway Avenue. But Runway Avenue is really key, because underneath the road is all of the water, all of the power, all of the data, you know, all of the infrastructure that's required to get to the hangars, to make sure that, you know, we can operate. So there's a lot of infrastructure work been going on, which is very visible, and you can sort of see all that coming to fruition. We're making really good progress, but we're probably slower than we thought in terms of the arena. Primarily because we went out to tender to the construction market, and we had 6 major companies come back and show an expressive interest. And we then probably lost about 6 months, I would say, because we actually only got 1 return that came back, because the other 5 decided not to tender. And the one that we had back then went into administration, and that was a company that was building Fulham's new stand down at Craven Cottage, and Liverpool's new main road stand at the end. So that left us in a bit of a situation to sort of say, well, okay, what do we do? And you know, what we've done is a really positive step, because, you know, YTL is built on the foundations actually as a construction company out in Malaysia. And, you know, we've been building the roads and building the houses on Brabazon. So it's a sort of it was a logical step for us really, to now start to really accelerate YTL construction, and that company will take the lead now in building the arena. And it means that, I guess, 2 things. One, you know, absolutely we're in control of our own destiny. And secondly, we've got a real solid partnership between the operating company and the construction company, so we can make sure we get the product that we want at the end. So I think out of a situation that sort of slowed us down, I think there's a really positive outcome that, you know, we absolutely are focused to get this arena open for Bristol and the Southwest.
That's massive that you've got, it's effectively an in-house now construction, as opposed to having another party to deal with and build relationships with and things like that. Everyone's fighting towards the same sort of company goals and things like that. So that must be huge.
It's a big step. Yeah, it's a really big step. And I think, you know, listen, we're going to manage the supply chain. You know, we're going to have a team of experts who we're now starting to build, you know, who will are leading the the process of working with the key supply chain. So your electrical, your steel, your concrete, you know, your cladding, your roofing, so on, so on. So yeah, it's a huge step, and you know, these are unprecedented, you know, times at the moment. You know, with the war, with Brexit, with the pandemic. So you know, I think to control our destiny, I think we'll ensure we'll get a fantastic product at the end of it. But as importantly, you know, we'll get an incredible building that everybody will be able to come and enjoy.
Obviously, over the last couple of years, technology moves so fast.
Yeah,
and we know that. In terms of the design, obviously, you're looking to start to build that infrastructure in the Brabazon hangars a little bit earlier. Has anything changed? Has time made you think differently about things? Obviously, I can see the nice blueprint behind you with the with the arena, how it's going to look. But has anything changed during that time? Has that worked to your advantage as well?
Yeah, probably. You know, we've always maintained that our vision, you know, is to truly put Bristol on the world stage for live music, you know, to really put Bristol on the map. You know, this is the place to come. If you're touring and you're going to all of the cities, you must come to Bristol. So, you know, the arena has to be the right capacity. So we've increased the capacity in that time. So we've got it up from 17,500 up to 19,000. So that's a real big step. It puts us in the Champions League of arenas. You know, we will be, you know, fourth in terms of biggest capacity, which is great news. In terms of technology, and then there's sort of two core pillars that we're absolutely focused on. One is sustainability, and that's both for the environment, but also financially. You know, this is a private investment, and we've got to ensure that, you know, that private investment gets the right returns for our shareholder. But, you know, And then obviously, you know, secondly, from an environmental point of view, but the second core pillar for us is technology. So we've worked really hard on the tech piece in terms of how can we improve the customer journey. And some of the things are we're going to have a lot more walk-in, walk-out sort of concession areas. So you sort of imagine, so rather than you queue up at a football stadium and you queue what I call the hole in the wall, and you sort of get your pint and you're, am I in the right queue or not? And, you know, it's not the greatest experience. So we get rid of that as much as we possibly can. And we've got walk in, you tap your credit card, it picks you up on the camera, you walk in, you collect your pint, collect your wine, collect whatever food you want, you walk out and it charges you instantly. Wow. And we've got numerous of those sort of in the building. And the sort of the service time for doing that is about 10 seconds. So yeah, technology, you know, probably one example that we're absolutely making sure that, you know, we're using tech to the best, and certain companies are sort of introducing it so that we've been able to watch and sort of learn from the good and the bad of how it's sort of working and how it's operating. But, you know, in the main, it's been successful. I think the other one is probably security. So in, you know, some venues, you go through what they call mag arches. You sort of take your stuff out of your pockets, you put them into a little bin, you walk through the mag arch, you come through the other end, and you put it all back in. Quite a clunky process. And when we're trying to get 19,000 people in, you know, that can take a lot of time and create queues. So there's a system now called Evolve, where you literally just walk through two columns. You don't even know you've walked through it. And then there's a team about sort of 5 to 7 meters away watching screens, and that can pick up absolutely anything on anybody walking through. But it just means the crowd is flowing and keeps coming through, and they can sort of highlight and spot, you know, certain people that they just want to pull aside to do that check, you know, rather than do it on everybody. They can just do it on people that sort of that the warning comes up. The O2 have put that in the last 3 months, and the process of getting into the O2 now versus what it used to be through the mag arch is incredible. So, you know, we're making sure that sort of level of technology is going into the venue as well.
Rich, you've been to lots of music events in the past, obviously in Glastonbury and things like that. How important is that to get that right, that security aspect and ease of access to merchandise and drinks and things like that?
Well, obviously security is like obviously paramount, isn't it? Safety, obviously what's happened in Manchester over the years, things like that. But my kind of query is, like, I thought this going down the City Ground, everyone tends to obviously all leave at the same time, arrive at the same time. Is there things like, because I don't know, like, back to Bristol City, I don't know why after the game, the concourse bars aren't left open for an hour. So rather than 17,000 people leaving the ground, taking the transport up, the roads are gridlocked, is there something to So you got before the concert, something to entice people there to arrive a bit earlier rather than all arriving at the same time. And also after the concert, things still happening rather than everyone leaving at the same time. So obviously, I don't know what, but...
We need to get you on our team, Rich, because that's absolutely what the thinking is. And you're right, you know, and concert goers are the same. You know, concert goers want to get there. Do they want to see this sort of warm-up act, yes or no? They might get there sort of, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour to go. And then they're looking at the watches thinking, oh, God, I've got to get away. Do we go away just before the last song or do we just go straight away? So we need to give the facilities and give you know, the fans the opportunity to not do that and sort of create the habit from the start. So part of our sort of customer journey mantra is that, you know, if it's a concert, we want people to come 5 till late. So how do we get people to come earlier and how do we get people to sort of stay? So some of the ideas that we have is we're going to have a community stage in the runway bar. We're going to give opportunities for young and up and coming performers from Bristol and the Southwest to come and play and perform so we can help them develop their careers. But we're giving entertainment something different back to the fans that come to event. We'll have fantastic food and drink. You know, we've always said we want to take the festival vibe of food and drink and plug it into an indoor arena. Most arenas don't do that. They sort of take it as the American sort of burger and fries, etc. So we want to break that mold and sort of really take Gloucester Road and plug it in. So again, in most of the concessions, we're working on sort of street food concept and trying to move that forward. Lots of seating, lots of different bars, you know, places that people are comfortable to dwell in as well, which I think is really important. And then after the show, it depends on the show sometimes. You know, if it's a younger audience, then parents are waiting and clearly, you know, it'll be they'll want to go. But if it's more sort of a rock or a different sort of age group that's in there, then again, we will make sure that we put in DJs on and we put in events on to try and keep people in to say, listen, have one more drink. We might even do some offers just to help them on their way. I think one of the most exciting things for me, though, is that when you come over the bridge to the arena, because, you know, we've got the railway line and you come through the town centre, Brabazon, you come up over this huge bridge and you come over. We have some incredible plazas at the front and literally under the bridge as well. And we're actually going to activate those 12 months a year round. So if it's Christmas, we want Christmas markets underneath, you know, to be giving you that sort of Christmas vibe. And if it's the summer, it wants to be the summer gardens and it's cocktails and it's PIMS and whatever. So again, we're thinking hard about how we can sort of, you know, encourage fans to not have that habit of coming as late as possible and leaving as early as possible.
Yeah.
Try and do that five till midnight. So. Yeah, Rich, if you've got any more ideas, send them over. I know where to find you.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it's a good point, Rich. And obviously, Saturday, Rotherham at home is the last game at Ashton Gate. The Wurzels are going to be on stage in the fan village after the game, which is fantastic. But why only do that on the last game of the season?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like I say, we're all trying to leave the Domino's Stand. We're all heading to North Street. We're all trying to get that bus or walk into our cars. Yeah, if people just filtered out, let's stay here for a pint, let the crowd go, then it just eases the whole transport. Yeah,
and nothing winds me up more than when people leave early from football matches. And case in point, the Huddersfield home game with Naki Wells scoring in the 101st minute. So it's an age old problem, Andrew. And I get it that some people need a little bit more space and time to walk down the stairs and get to their cars and things like that. But it's the million dollar question is how to stagger that from these type of events.
No, it really is. And every event type is different. Obviously, you talk about football being a specific event type, and you know, 80% of the audience come every single game. They're season ticket holders, whereas you know, for us, you know, there's multiple different events, multiple different genres of music or entertainment and different audiences. So we've got to make sure that the offers can flex to those different event types. And, you know, there'll be some opportunities where people will want to stay late and come early, and there's some opportunities that they just won't. So, you know, we've got to make sure that works. But I think transport is key to that. And you know, we've worked really, really hard on making sure that, you know, we've got the train station 200 metres away, which I know is what Ashton Gate sort of struggle with, and they've been campaigning long and hard to get that reopened. And I think that would be that would make a huge difference to the stadium. But I think from the arena point of view, our station Brabazon is really important. And then how do we deal with everybody else? So we've got park and rides that will help the speed exit from the arena. We've got shuttle buses, we've got the metro bus, you know, tax and proper tax around. So I think the whole infrastructure and transport piece is pretty critical to give people the confidence that they're not going to be stuck in a car park 3 hours, that they can come and go. And we, you know, we did it for Massive Attack. We had Massive Attack on the airfield in 2019, two nights, on a Friday and Saturday, 14,000 each night, in the middle of the runway. And we were getting people back into the city centre in sort of 25 minutes on shuttle buses. And we were getting people out of the car park within sort of, I think it was about 11 minutes and gone. So we know we could do that with nothing there. Now the test for me is to make sure that we can continue to improve on that and do it with all the sort of infrastructure that's coming forward.
Brilliant. Fantastic stuff. So in terms of high level milestones, then we are we're in April 2024 now. And what's got to happen between now and that red carpet event that you spoke about on the last podcast?
So I think the next 12 months are pretty critical for us. So we've handed the hangars over now to a contractor. We've got about 12 months of asbestos strip. You know, these are 80-year-old buildings. There's got a lot of asbestos in. So we've got to get rid of all that. We've then got to move into demolition. Again, we've got to take the roof off the central hangar so we can get cranes in. We've got a lot of buildings to remove. So the next 12 months are pretty critical for us, because what we don't know is what we might find and what challenges we may find as we go. You know, if we have a very clear run and everything works in our favor, then, you know, from the 12 months time, we're about a 2.5 year and just over sort of build. So you're sort of aiming towards that end of 27 in terms of red carpet. But, you know, we don't want to put dates on in terms of opening yet, because we've got to get through this next phase of demolition and asbestos strip and to know what we're dealing with. And then we'll be able to make that next move, which is going to be exciting. And we're all pushing for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you said 80 years old, the building. 10 Concords, I think, were constructed and put together in those hangars. So it's a lot of history. And I'll put a link up with this episode to the podcast we did with you back in 2022, because we spoke a lot about that. And you mentioned a guy called Alan Hale, who was the airport manager. Is he still on the team. The project?
Still on the team. And, you know, he's one of those guys that he's going to be, I can see him now, he's going to be suited and booted. He's going to be showing school kids, you know, around these hangars with pride and telling them the stories of how Concorde were built in there and what it is today in terms of that next. It's now the home of supersonic music. And, you know, I think that's going to be one of the most pleasing things for me is to see Alan sort of showing those tours around and we're showing that next generation of sort of Southwest children of their arena. And, you know, that's something really to look forward to.
Brilliant. Fantastic. So tell us when we spoke last time, you were saying that you have calls with the YTL, you know, owners, if you like, in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Malaysia. So what does a normal week look like for you now, Andrew? Is it more of the same? Is it engaging with different stakeholders across the project?
Yeah, listen, our owners are actively involved. They're putting huge amount of private money, you know, not only into the arena, but into Brabazon as well. You know, we are literally building a new district called Brabazon. So it's a huge investment. And they're over, you know, all the time, I would say on a monthly basis. And then we've got a very, very good sort of management team. You know, we're building this construction company now. So there's a lot of design finishes that we're sort of making. We're going out to tender. You know, we've got to now start to look at the pre-opening. There's an incredible amount to do to get the food, the technology, right, the sustainability. You know, I could go, there's safety and all of that. So there's an immense amount to do between now and opening. And, you know, you only have to look up in Manchester. Manchester has just opened its second arena called Co-op Live, that they did a test event at the weekend, and it didn't go to plan. So they originally, you know, were hoping to get 11,000 people through the door. And for safety reasons, they had to reduce it to 4,000. They've just had to move Peter Kay back. That's due to play this week by a day, and then they've got the Black Keys as their full event on Saturday, which you know I've been invited to, myself and my wife been invited to. So, listen, I'm super excited to go. But these projects need an incredible amount of sort of experience and the right people and time to plan to get it right. And I think is evidence at the moment. Some of the challenges that they're encountering in Manchester, which they will overcome for sure. There's always teething problems.
You must go to these events and go to any event all over the world and just constantly be looking at even the smallest thing.
Yeah.
And thinking, right, we've got to get that right. Or we haven't, maybe haven't thought about how we make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, every sort of article that's been pushed out on what they haven't got right in the test event at Co-op Live in Manchester is now on our whiteboard. and to make sure that everybody in the team knows, you know, what we absolutely won't get wrong. But you know, this is about, you can always look at something and say, well, how can we get it better? How can we keep moving, you know, moving the dial? And that's absolutely something that we're focused on. And we've got the time to do it. This, as I say, this is not a small project. You know, this is a huge project, and it's been long coming. But you know, my hope is that when we open the doors and people have been a couple of times, that they're really proud of, you know, their arena. This is their Bristol arena, and that's what we look towards sort of every day.
One thing we noticed, Rich, was that when we came to visit in August 2021 and we had the presentation from the team and things like that, is it was a really nice culture, a nice feel in there. Obviously, yeah. That's a good 3 years ago now, not quite 3 years, but how have the team been over the last 2.5 years, and have they kept up their enthusiasm and momentum for this?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm delighted that they have as well. You know, it's we've been through, as I say, some challenging times, haven't we all? You know, the pandemic was one of those. But yeah, the team are absolutely focused on wanting to get the job done, and you know, that makes me very proud that we've still got the same team. We've moved now to site. I think when you came to see us, we were in different offices, so we're now on site. We're in the old flight operations center that used to be the old departure lounge for the runway.
I was say, I can't imagine the team just sat in the middle of the Brabus hangar
with diggers everywhere. But no, we're in our temporary office. We're all on site. You know, we've got our own marketing suite now, and sort of we're all continue to try and build that culture, and then just looking down the runway at as things will develop and things start to move forward, and then the next move will be into the offices at the arena.
That's a big step, isn't it? Actually being on site and seeing things change from day to day, and actually feeling part of it rather than removed, you know, half a mile down the road.
I think you're right, Patch. I think it's seeing it change every day. You know, you just see the work that's going on the runway and how the roads and everything's going in, and it's sort of, you know, it is great to see, and it's important that we just keep that team spirit and we keep that focus on the end goal.
Brilliant. Okay, Rich, any final questions from you on the YTL Arena project before we go on to some of our regular segments?
No, I was just going to name drop, because I was chatting to my next door neighbour earlier today, and I think she's the PA or secretary of John Thompson, who's the CEO or COO of YTL Construction.
Yep. He's just been made CEO of, and there you go. So John, who's been part of the YTL group, you know, mainly on Wessex Water, For numerous years, has just taken the role to be CEO of YTL Construction, and he's going to sort of start to really grow that team quite fast. So yeah, John's very experienced, and I'm absolutely delighted that he's accepted the role. So
yeah, and I think she's moving across with him, like his secretary Rachel, her name is. So.
Yeah. Awesome. It's great. It's great news, and it just shows the commitment from YTL as shareholders that they want to. You know, keep investing in Bristol, keep investing in these major projects, but also, you know, in investing and giving people, you know, opportunities. And John's got big task ahead, but I'm sure he'll be successful, and I'm looking forward to working alongside him so we can get this arena over the line.
Brilliant.
One of our regular segments, Andrew, is called Room of Doom. I don't know if we did that this last time.
I think so.
It's something that that gets on your nerves or has upset you in the last month or so. There must be plenty of things that you've had to come across and obstacles you've had to overcome that you just think, why does that happen? But I'll come to you last, so you've got time to have a little think. Rich, what are you putting forward for the Room of Doom on this occasion?
My Room of Doom this episode, young Patrick, is people who wear those grey tracksuit bottoms in a non-sporting activity. It just looks slovenly. It's usually kids on their scooters, isn't it? So it's these grey toweling tracksuit bottoms, and they're not doing any sport, are they? So just, yeah, all of a sudden jeans are nothing. The youths don't wear jeans. They don't wear chinos. Don't wear slacks. They all start just wearing these baggy, usually dirty grey tracksuit bottoms.
Well, yeah, I mean, in an office environment, it used to be very much suits and ties. But I think the fact that the dress code policies in offices these days has changed, it's open for a lot of manipulation, should we say. But with the summer approaching, you never know what you're going to find on some occasion.
Well, you shouldn't see toes in an office anyway. So if it comes to flip-flops, you shouldn't see a bare toe in the office. So
you'll be for right. Speech only.
Yeah.
Fair play. Mine is a parking one. And obviously this might be something that Andrew may encounter in the years to come. I live very near a school, my kid's school, which is very handy, but it's very dangerous the walk to work because cars just seem to park A, wherever they want, and B, this is my entry for the Room of Doom, is halfway on the pavement, right up against a bush. So you've got either squeeze through a gap or go around the car into the road with your children to actually get to school. So people, please park carefully, park considerably. Considerately, I should say, and not on the pavements. So,
but can I tell you something? I'll tell you something. When I did a speed aware course years ago, obviously,
yeah, you don't speed, do you?
No, speed at all. No, they actually they do encourage. They quite like it when cars park around schools because it does kind of slow people down.
Yeah.
So they actually do like quite encourage it.
It's a good point. I live in a small village, and we're quite pleased that some. The residents are starting to park on the road because it does slow the traffic down coming through our small village.
Parking on the pavement, I think, is generally considered to be a bad thing. But yeah, that's obviously parking. We've mentioned about the park and ride and things like that. Andrew, what's the parking situation likely to be at the YTL Arena?
So we're going to have just short of 2,000 parking spaces on site, and then we're going to have sort of similar numbers in terms of park and ride. So we're going to be working with Wild Place as one of them. They're just extended sort of their parking, and they're going to have over 1,000 car park spaces. And clearly, you know, when we need it, they're closed. So we sort of it's a nice working relationship just off the motorway. So we get people sort of coming up, and then we've got a couple of other sites as well. So we can reduce the cars coming in, put them on buses, 5 minutes straight to the front door. And then back to their car, and then they go. So yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't want people parking on the pavements around the Brabazon Village.
Absolutely not, because then it'll get to that 3 hour trying to get away, which is absolutely what we don't want.
No, 100%. Okay, did you have any thoughts on a Room of Doom entry, Andrew?
Yeah, well, I think one of mine is middle lane drivers on the motorway.
Ooh.
You know, I'm on the motorway on a regular basis, and the amount of people that just sit in the middle lane. And they can very easily move over to the left, which is what you should do.
Yeah.
But the amount of congestion that it creates is quite infuriating, actually. And I live a lot of my time on the motorway. So, yeah, I think if we can get middle lane drivers understanding the highway code that they should be over to the left, I think that would speed journey time up considerably.
But I don't know why they sit there as if it's safe. I don't know why they feel safer there than being tucked to the left.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. Yeah. It really is. But yeah, so I would say middle lane drivers for me.
Okay, right, now we go around and have a little vote. You can't vote for yourself. So Rich, remind me what yours was.
Oh, those tracksuit bottoms.
Tracksuit bottoms
in a non-sporting activity.
Okay, very, very niche, that one.
Very niche.
So tracksuit bottoms in a non-sporting activity, middle lane drivers and parking on pavement, especially near schools, to make it unsafe to walk to school. Right, Rich, who are you going to go for? Middle lane or parking on pavements?
Well, can I add one thing to your parking bit? Just to make it...
Absolutely, yeah.
And you'll get a definite vote if this... I can't stand commercial vehicles parked. So, you know, say someone works for Virgin, they bring the Virgin van home now, don't they? Back in the day, you used to go to a depot, leave your car there, do your work, go back to the depot and pick your car up. Whereas now people got work vans, obviously their own car. So their own car's on the drive, therefore they have to park the commercial van on the road. So if you said that, Patch, that'd be my vote.
Okay, how about commercial vans parked on the pavements?
Yeah, Patch, got my vote, Patch.
Okay, brilliant. Right, Andrew, you've got to choose from these grey tracksuits in non-sporting or parking on the pavement.
But I didn't need to be specific about the tracksuit. You know, are they fleece? Are they polyester? Are they, you know, what
is it? Is those kind of toweling ones? You know, kind of
the toweling,
the thick grey ones that get look dirty as soon as you put them on.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that. I think that's my goal.
I do get
the point. I think it's the specific tracksuit. Listen, there's some trendy tracksuit bottoms out there, but I think the ones that you're thinking about are probably the ones that don't fit into that category. Do I get with that?
Rich, I'd like to see a picture at some point of this.
I'll wear some next time. I'll go buy some. Life.
Yeah, if you could get some, that'd be brilliant. Okay, and I'll go for, I don't have a problem with those tracksuits, Rich, unless you're going to have to show me a picture because I don't really know what you mean. So for that, I'm going to go for middle lane drivers in the motorway. So I don't know. I think everyone's got one vote, I think.
One each.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll stick them all in the room of doom. That's easy. No problem at all. Thank you very much. And then finally, we talk about recommendations. So interesting question for you, Andrew, is how do you switch off from this massive program that you're involved in the YTL arena? Is there a particular Netflix documentary or Amazon Prime or something you've watched lately that you would recommend to people?
I play piano and I did at a younger age and then sort of stopped. So I've just got myself a sort of digital keyboard piano and I'm sort of starting to get back in terms of playing that. Whether I'll get on the stage and be part of a group at the arena is probably very, 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 very.
I can see it now. You and Scott Davidson on stage on the keyboard.
Yeah, absolutely. So probably not that level, but you know, it definitely gets me. It definitely gets me to sort of switch off and focus on something different. Netflix, I leave that to my wife. She just keeps coming forward with recommendations all the time. We've just watched a series. I'm not sure it was on Netflix. I think it was on Channel 4's app called Before We Die.
Okay.
And it was set in Bristol, actually.
Oh, wow.
So it was a really good series there. Two series called Before We Die, and it was set in Bristol. So just literally watched that. But yeah, I leave that to my wife, and she just says that's what we're watching. We generally both like it. So.
That sounds interesting. Before We Die on Channel 4 on 4 on Demand. Is it is it a drama or?
Yeah, it's a drama. Drama. Yeah. Police crime. Yeah, it's and sort of drug gang that's sort of in and around Bristol. But it's good. I think it's Jenny Sharp is the lead actor in it.
Brilliant. But, I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's always good cast.
Yeah, I always love to see things set in and around Bristol. There's been some crackers in the past. My recommendation is if you haven't seen it on Gold, Bottom Exposed, all about how Bottom started with Rick Mell and Adrian Edmondson. I've now gone back and rewatched every episode of Bottom. They've released some extended versions, and it just takes me straight back to the 90s when life was a lot simpler. And the amount of fun that those guys had writing and creating and actually acting out some of these scenes was unbelievable. And there's a really emotional little 5 minutes where Adrian Edmondson goes back on to some of that time. You're not there's not going to be a dry eye watching that, let me tell you. So it's absolutely fantastic. The little documentary they did, about a 90-minute documentary about Bottom, lots of actors and actresses contributing there. So that's one. Rich, I think you were going to chip in on that one, were you? Or
no, it's just obviously I grew up watching the young ones and Bottom. Mm. Obviously it's really sad when Rick Mell passed away, but yeah, I noticed that was advertised, so
definitely
I will be tuning into that one. Yeah,
it talks about, you know, how they met and their journey through and other little things that they had going on. But one little funny thing went in there was the fact that Bottom was number one in the TV charts and it was knocked off the charts, the top of the charts, by Absolutely Fabulous, obviously as his wife's which was pretty funny. But that's one. If you haven't seen it, then you're in for a treat. And I'm watching Dexter on Netflix, which is something I missed the first time around. He works in the police as a crime scene specialist, and he's actually committing a lot of the crimes himself. So it's about six or seven seasons, and one to definitely watch, and I know it's been very popular, so it's probably in the sort of top 25 series of all time, to be honest, that one. So, and that's on Netflix now for you to enjoy. So a couple of recommendations from me. Rich, about yourself?
Well, I'm a bit like Andrew. I don't watch a lot of TV, to be honest. I noticed there's a new series of Avoidance out, which is with Ramesh, that's series two. He split up from his wife. He kind of, they didn't want to tell their kids, so he stole his kid for a bit, moved in with his sister. Obviously, it's a comedy. So there's second series.
That was good, the first season of that.
Yeah, so I can tune into that at some point. But yeah, I haven't watched anything for a while, to be honest.
Okay.
Just playing golf.
Lovely. We've got the Euros coming up as well.
Oh yeah, I got the Euros, yeah.
Got the Euros coming up.
Brilliant.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got my England lifestyle polo shirt on now.
I can see, absolutely.
Great stuff. Well,
I've got a picture of the tracksuit bottoms.
Oh, here we go. Go on then. Okay.
Yeah, right. Those. Yeah, see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
you probably would have. Baggy.
You probably would have had my vote, Rich, if you'd show that picture, and you could have walked away with the title this week. But there we go. Too late now. Change history.
We can edit it.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Really keen to hear about the current state of play and what's, you know, in plan for the coming months. So looking forward to having the next catch up with you and seeing how things are progressing. So big thank you.
We'll get your hard hats and some high vis next time and come to site. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, quality. That'd be great.
We'd be delighted to. But yeah, thank you for your interest and look forward to speak to you next time.
Yeah, great. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget to follow us over on X at 3PIAPC. And we'll be back with another episode very soon. Rich, take care.
Good night, all. Cheers, chaps.
Cheers, everyone. Take care. Bye for now. Show me just what I'm I don't wanna see your face no more, and I don't wanna walk your way.